we will be studying today in the Mishnah, the end of the Aseret HaKidush. One is Shorei Regalus, Yelvas Nisisish, the prohibited commandment against adultery. It's also something that's on the law books of all civilized countries. How much it's observed, I don't know. Not to commit adultery means not to have relations with someone else's wife. And the word niyuf in Hebrew means loshon niyuf, mashma beishes ish, refers to adultery. Not to incest, but to adultery. I don't know in the mind that I'm using today, it's Lamed Hey. Mishoroshi Mitzvahzu, rationale of this mitzvah, very interesting from the viewpoint of the Malachim. Kideshi Mishiyashi Lo'olon Kasher Chofetz Hashem. Let the world be populated in accordance with the will of God. Vashem Baruch Hu Rotzo Shiyiyu Kol Inyone Oilomri, that all that is within his universe, Oisim Peiriseya, that everything bring forth its fruit, Kol Echod Ve'Echod Leminehu, each one in his own kind, not to mix kind. Kol echod ve'echod leminei, v'loi she'yis'avu min b'min achim, that they shouldn't mix together one with another. So for that reason also, Hashem Yisborach prohibited living with the wife who is bound in marriage to a second person. That's also a mixture of kinds in a certain sense. So even though kilayim in the animal world refers only to a difference in the very kind of the animal itself, and here both are humans, there's no difference in kind here, but because they are humans, so the relationship between husband and wife is such that he who is not the husband is as if he were a different kind. And Hashem Yisborach wants no mixture of the two. That's one reason. A very interesting reason. V'chein rotzo sheyiyeh zera ha'anoshim yodua shel mihu le'isav zeh zeh. Hashem Yisborach wanted to have the children that emerge from human beings, known and recognized as such. He is the child of Reuven, and this one is the child of Shimon. So that they should not become mixed one with another. This can lead to incest. You can have a brother marrying a sister without knowing that this is being done. In order to guarantee against it, each family must remain within its own. There are many other things that are not good in committing adultery. It will become a cause for the people of many mitzvahs to which we are obligated. As for instance, Shetzivonu Gekibut Ovis, he commanded us, honor thy father and thy mother. And when this is committed, you don't know who is father and who is mother. And when that happens, Lo Yukru Lebonim Imanim, through Niuf, children will not recognize their fathers. They won't know who the father is. So you mevatel a mitzvah of Kibut Av. In other words, those mitzvahs which are built upon the relationship of children to their fathers, parents to their children, call for this mitzvah of Moisinov. Because in a world where niyuf is prevalent, so you can't have that relationship between a father and a child. So the Torah didn't believe as Sweden believes today. It's a civilized country, I'm told, Sweden. But during this past year, they passed a law that a child can deny himself the relationship with his father. He doesn't like his father. So he comes to court and he says, I don't want him for my father. Finish. And the court recognizes this as a valid reason, and he's no longer your father. Court says so. Fati. Oystati. I'm not talking about the foolishness involved in it. I'm talking about the degree of degradation to which humankind can sink. A son, a child, can deny himself relationship with a father. I don't like him. So I want the court to declare he's not my father. He's not my parent. How low can an individual sink? And yet, this becomes law of a civilized country. So we see that this reason that the Chinuch gives us here is a very important reason for Shmiras HaTorah VeHaMitzvah. Shmiras Mitzvah guarantees this family bond, the relationship of children and parents, parents and children, around which there is built the kernel and the basis of human society. If not, you have what happens in Sweden. There it becomes law. In other civilized countries, it's done without a law. But the fact is a fact all over. That there is no such thing as a recognition of a bond between a parent and a child and a parent. Torah is built upon recognition of that bond. And therefore, one of the things, one of the benefits that you reap from the Sinuf is that you don't destroy, the Sinuf says, this bond. We have been commanded against incest. A brother cannot live with a sister. You have niyuf, you have adultery. So this is all broken down. Because people then don't recognize their own relatives. Very important also to remember this in the Gemara Sefer. Yesh b'inyan aniyuf, adultery means also tzad gezel. You're taking something that doesn't belong to you. You're taking something that belongs to someone else. Tzad gezel. Shehu dovor boru. This certainly is clear to everyone. Shaseichel nahi. Human logic says that you shouldn't do such things. The concept of gezel in adultery. It's his wife, not yours. And has we shown you live with her, it's as if you take his money. Do you realize when you take personal property of his that it's gezel? It's theft, it's robbery, it's not to be done. So adultery is not merely a moral crime. It's the same crime as gezel, as gneve. You're making use of something which does not belong to you. It belongs to someone else. And the Gemara in Sefer says that this concept of gezel is contained in the lav of niyuf of eshes ish. Eshes re'ehu timei. The Torah emphasizes the fact. It's his wife, not yours. And when you touch her, it's the same as you're using property of someone else without his permission. The difference is that he has no ownership over her to permit such things either. The relationship of husband and wife is not the relationship between the physical possessions of man. That he can forego. He can give to others, he can permit to others. But that relationship of husband and wife is a spiritual relationship. And that isn't something that you can forego by saying, you can have it too. Yes. There can be gift. There can be divorce when it's necessary. So she's no longer your wife. But as long as she is your wife, that attachment is something that cannot be denied under any circumstances. And under all circumstances, adultery means zelet. Eishes re'eihu timeh. And that's why the Gemara says also in Sanhedrin that a benoyach is chayev for eishes ish because he's chayev on gezel. One of the seven mitzvahs b'nineach, one of the seven Noahide laws is gezel. You're not to take that which doesn't belong to you. So that automatically obligates the benoyach that he's not to commit adultery, because it's gezel, it's eishes re'eihu. So this reason is also contained within this mitzvah of leisimo. Gam ki husibo le'ilu nefoshes. Chas v'sholem. For one who commits adultery, it can lead to murder because of the anger of the husband himself. It's known that it is the nature of human beings that they become angry to the extent of kino al niyuv bazigum bazugom imachelim if the wife lives with a stranger. The yodim imanoyev ad lechayev, and they're ready to murder the noyev. And in addition to all that we've said, there are many, many other wrongs that can result from loisino. So in the Aseres HaDibris, we don't find the prohibitions of incest. We find the prohibition of adultery. Because adultery, as he points out here, is an addition to the prohibition against mixing that which should not be mixed. It contains so many other concepts within it which are basic to the foundation of a healthy life, of a healthy society. Therefore, this is part of Aseres HaDibros. It's one of those laws which have been chosen by Hashem Yisborach as all-inclusive. Within the Aseres HaDibros is contained Taryag Mitzvahs. There is one of the Pismanim of the Yontef Shmuis that Rav Sadye Goren Zechen Livroche composed, and it's in his Siddur, the Siddur of Rav Sadye Goren, where he speaks of every one of the Aseres HaDibros and points out all the mitzvahs which are contained in each individual commandment of the Ten Commandments. So these are basic headings of Taryag mitzvahs. In the heading of those isurim, those prohibitions against sexual relationship where it's not permitted, the Torah has chosen in the Aseres HaDibros Leisino, adultery, because it's all inclusive of so many concepts which are basic to a healthy Torah society. What is interesting to note is that the Chinuch and Torah have recognized these wrongs, these evils that result in human society. They are not modern in essence. These are not things that we had to wait for the 20th century to bring forth and show us to what degree men can become corrupt that this is within the nature of humans. This is the concept of Yetzer Hara. Taive, lust, temptation, can lead man to such things that are his own self-destruction. If he were but to think, to give thought before the act, what can happen? What can it lead to? Self-destruction. Not self in the concept of an individual, but self-destruction in the concept of society as a whole. That's what's being done. Why do you do it? When you're in your sane moments, if you were to be asked, you would rise against it. So why do you do it? Tired. Lust. Temptation. And when you're overcome by lust, you forget logic. You forget Satan. You're overwhelmed with that lust, with that temptation. You follow along the lines of it. You become lost in the temptation itself. All the evils, all the ills of human society, my friends, are a result of this Yetzer Hara, which misleads a person momentarily. Were he to be asked a moment before, is this something right to do? He would say, absolutely not. From a human viewpoint and standpoint, he doesn't have to be talked to yet. And a moment later, he's the one that's committed. Why? Taivet among the chav. He was overwhelmed with taivet. We already pointed out once, cigarette smoking. Ask an individual, after you know everything about cigarette smoking, so even if you won't become cancerous, certainly admit that it's not a healthy thing to do. So what's there to do? About something that's unhealthy, why do it? You're 100% right. I'm a shugaz. And then he's shown a cigarette. Finished. All of logic, all of rationality is lost in the time, in that lust, in that temptation. And every crime that man commits is a result of time, of temptation. Whether it's Titus HaKovit, vanity. Vanity. What doesn't a person do for COVID? What doesn't he do for COVID? He'll kill himself for COVID. He'll destroy himself and the family for COVID. Chazal point this out so beautifully in the story about Yerovam ben Nevat. Yerovam, who broke away from the kingdom of Judea to make Malchus Yisroel. Malchus belongs to Yehuda. A new Malchus is created. And not only that, he wants to guarantee that this is what it's supposed to be. So he builds himself a temple for Malchus Yisroel so that they shouldn't go three times a year to Yerushalayim. And Chazal picture it in this way. All of a sudden, God appears to him. And he says to him, let us go walk together in Gan Eden. You, Guy, and Ben Dovid. Ben Dovid. What could be better than that? The child in Gan Eden. Ani ve'ato Ben Dovid. Wonderful. Your Rabbi says, Liberoish, who's at the head of the march? And Hashem answers, Ben Dovid, I'm not interested. It doesn't mean prophecy. That wasn't a prophetic message. Chazal wanted to point out to us what Yerovam was going through emotionally in creating this new kingdom. He saw before himself what Malchus Yehuda meant. He was well aware of this. He knew that his Malchus was not eternal. One of the basic fundamentals of faith is Malchus Yehudah, to believe in Melech Mashiach ben David. one of the Yudgimel Animayim's. Only Melech ben David, Mashiach. Mashiach ben David. Mizerach Shloimeh, who will come forth from the house of Shloimeh. That's one of the basic foundations of Emunah. He knew it, he was well aware of it. And he knew that he was not building anything eternal. So he saw before himself this inner conflict. What am I doing? Am I building for myself? Or am I destroying myself? And in so thinking, let us not have the mistake of thinking that Jeroboam was a small person. Jeroboam was great. Far greater than we are in all our greatness. And in thinking about these things, he saw the conflict of what he was doing against eternity. And he felt that it's within my power to walk in eternal life of Gan Eden together with Hashem Yisbarach. What then is a Jew if not the title of Gan Eden together with God? Isn't that Judaism? Isn't that Torah? And he saw it before himself. He was sure that this is how it had to be. But then he was struck. Midrash! Who's going to be at the head of it? I want it. I want to be the leader. I'm vain. I have that desire for covenant. I want that honor of mi beresh. And realizing that ben yishai beresh, it can't be otherwise. That's a fundamental of faith. So he rises up and he says, it won't be that way. What are you fighting against? What are you battling against? You're battling against the stone wall. You know it's going to be that way. Can't be otherwise. This is the fundamental of Torah. You don't want to build a boyish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. You want Judaism in Eretz Yisrael. You never wanted it with all his soul, with all his life. But mi beresh, that Titus HaKoi, that desire for what human beings call honor, that desire blinds Jeroboam to all that he sees, to the Gan Eden, to God walking with him, even David HaMelech walking with him. He's blinded by it. I want your rope, is what I want. And it will not be otherwise. He does something which destroys him forever. Not only will he not become a Ben-Dodi, but he won't walk in Gan Eden. And he certainly won't walk with Hashem Yisbarach and with Ben-Dodi together. By the very act of what he now does, he's destroying himself and his entire future. This is what Yetzer Hara means in a human being. Everyone, when he looks objectively at a problem, he sees it in its true life. But why does he do things that are wrong? Because he can't look at it objectively. It involves him. And he sees it through his own perspective. He sees himself rather than seeing truth. And once he looks at it through his own perspective, he's misled, he's led astray, and he's led astray to such an extent that it becomes self-destruction by the work of your own hands. You weren't destroyed by someone else. You destroyed yourself. When we look through history, down through the ages, we will find that this is continually true. Empires were built and empires were lost only because Titus HaKoreh. They became great, and then they became small. They lost themselves in their self-interest. A Greek empire, a Roman empire, they were terrific. But they were lost in their self-interest. When you look at present-day events, it's exactly the same thing. History keeps repeating itself. And men are lost in self-interest. The entire idea of seeking office, they themselves say they want power. Melech Yisroel, David HaMelech, so many times in the words of the prophets, is the exact contrast to that. The Melech is one who is to be a broken heart, not one who seeks power and dominion over others. He is a Melech. He is the representative of Hashem Yisbarach. People today seek public office not to serve a public, but to have dominion over others. Power seekers. Why? Because that's tithing. You have a lust for power. That's within the nature of an individual. And this lust, this temptation, makes him forget what he should be seeing. And in the lust for power, he loses himself. He breaks himself and breaks others with him. We had such a wonderful illustration of this in our last president, in Nixon. It was such a beautiful illustration of what a person can do to himself only because office, public office, is used and it wasn't even necessary. But man has such a lust for power that he doesn't think straight once this idea strikes him. Tithing is what makes man lose himself. What brings him down or brings others down with him. Here you have a prohibitive commandment, Leisino, which speaks to tithing in the human and tells him, watch yourself, control yourself, think and resolve before the act appears to you, because then it's too late, then you'll be overwhelmed, you won't be able to stand up before it. Decide before it happens, before there's reason for it to happen, what your concepts of living are. Live in accordance with Torah concepts, you will not be overcome by such lusts and such temptations. Your lusts will then be a lust for God. Temptation to serve Hashem Yisbarach, to come close and nigh unto Him, to unite with Him. How? In the performance of mitzvahs Hashem. That is the love of the Jew. Use the nature of love with which every human being is endowed. Use it for its high purpose. Amas Hashem. There has to be love between husband and wife. There has to be. You want to understand what it means to love God? How can you understand that? Can you see God? Can you feel it? You love something that you don't feel, you don't see. You have to gain a concept of love. You have a wife to love. That love is to be translated into the love of God. That's what Chazal meant when they said that when Yaakov Avinu met his son Yosef after so many years of estrangement, the Torah says that Yosef embraced Yaakov in tears. What about Yaakov? Doesn't say that he embraced Yosef. Didn't he love him? And Chazal say, Yaakov Avinu was then saying the Kriya Shema. What does that mean? When Yaakov Avinu saw finally this son, whom he loved with all his heart and soul, for whom he had been longing for so many years, And now he saw him before him. That love is culminated. So it didn't rest in him alone. He elevated that love to Avos Hashem. Kri Shema v'Avos Hashem l'Kecho. For the book of the heart. He translated it into what love should be used for. That's why Reish Chochma quotes the Yitzchok de Minako, who was one of the great Rishonim, quotes that Reb Yitzchok said, "Mi shelo ohav isho, he who has never gone through the love of woman, pochos hu min hachamei, he is lower than the dumpster." How can you talk about Avos Hashem? How can you be the kind of mitzvah Hashem? How can you be devoted to Hashem Yisborah when you've never felt what devotion means? You've never felt what Ava means. That's Avos Ishvi Ishtoi in the Torah concept. That doesn't lead to incest. That doesn't lead to adultery. That leads to a nuclear violent kill. That's the love of woman that exists in a Torah home. That's the important thing that we have to remember from this mitzvah of the Torah that's in the Aseres HaDibres. It's basic. It builds Jewish life. This mitzvah, it's all-inclusive. Loisiyah. There's another mitzvah that we'd like to discuss today, and that is third mitzvah following this. I don't know which it is in yours, Kino. In my Kino, it's Lamed Ches. Shalei Lachme. Loi Sachme. You shouldn't have desires for things that are not yours. Follows very well upon this mitzvah. Shalei Lachav is b'mak shakhenu. We should not let arise in our world of thought lasis pakbulo, to undertake and do things nor kachas lolu, to take for ourselves mashuhu lasenu, that which belongs to others. Loi sachme. Sheneama loi sachme beisre yekom. Everything, not only the bayis and the patients. So this idea, he mentioned here the chinuch, that there's a concept of gezel in the chinuch. The Torah itself says it a few mitzvahs later. It's the same as chemdas beis reyev. Loisachmoy eishes reyev. For hichu zifreinam levrocha mitmosuk achir, Chazal pointed out to us that the issue of loisachmoy is culminated when you actually take it. If you're a chayme, if you have lust for something that's not yours, but you don't actually take it, so that chendo hasn't been culminated, it hasn't been fulfilled. It's awesome, you shouldn't do it, but you're not over the law. You haven't committed the crime of Rishakri. Ein enigma, achiyasa ben maisa. To his neighbor, and therefore he went and spoke to him and forced him, sell it to me, and he pays him good money for it. He's Egel Esach, even though it's not Zegel, because he gave it to him. But how did you come to buy this? What influenced you to ask for this? Why did you want it? Only because of Chemdom. So the buying, the act itself, culminates Chemdas Aleim. This is Loisachmei. She'ein lav de Loisachmei niskan de Nesines Adon. The fact that you paid for it, that doesn't take care of the lav to say that you weren't over the lav. Kol zman she'delech hechlech, since you forced him to give it to you. He didn't want to sell it to you. He kept asking until you pressed the button. He wanted to get rid of you, so he sold it to you. That's effort, and that's terrible. What's the rationale? Chemdo, for something that's not mine, is a machshava ro, it's an evil thought. And it causes many ills and evils. Once he puts away in the depths of his thought that I want this thing, once he puts this thought away, once he lives with this chemda, with this lust, so you may rest assured. As mitechisa taivo ro, this evil lust, he will then lo yashgia b'shum dovar. It's exactly what we were talking about. He will now not pay heed to anything. And if you won't, in goodwill, want to sell it to him, Yan, says he again. You'll force it away from him even without money. And if he will rise against him, he doesn't let him take it. If it's very possible that he'd be ready to kill it because he wants that object. What is it? Something that's worth $10. But I want it. That's tight. That's it. Since I want it, you must give it to me. And if you don't give it to me, you don't want to take any money for it, you refuse to give it to me, I'll force you to give it to me under death. I'm ready to kill you because I want this. To that extent, can a human being lose himself in a world of tithe? And this also, these are things that happen daily. Daily! For nothing, for the smallest little thing. But I wanted it. And he didn't want to give it to me. He shot it to them in order to satisfy this chemdas halev. Kasher motzinu benovis, as we find in Tanakh, novis ha-Yisraeli, novis of Israel, Ne'era was killed. Why? Al Karmi, because he had a vineyard. Shechomad mimenu Achov, that Achov Melech Yisroel desired. Was a beautiful keren. No, so his wife, Abba's wife, wants it. But nobody says, no, I don't want to sell it. I like it myself. It's an heirloom. I got it from my parents, and they got it from their parents. I don't want to sell it. I want to keep it for myself. So what's done? So Achav HaMelech kills him. What? What? Dear filter, you're a melech. What does one keren, one vineyard, mean in the treasure store of a melech? It means less than a penny for us. But it's something that he wants. It's something that he's chaymeh. It's not really he wants. He lusts for it. He's tempted to it. Once he lusts for it, that lust cannot be quenched. It has to be satisfied. And the only way to satisfy it is to take it. And novice is not permitting me to take it. So we get rid of novice. That's how it's made. That's what Lesach means. So the Lesach follows very well after the Legalis Ervesesesish. Gilu Ervesesesish is an act of chemdom, is an act of tithe to something that is not yours. It can lead to the worst things in life, but not merely chemdas isho, which is a spiritual attachment, but chemdas momin, something that when you begin to think is so worthless, it doesn't mean a thing in life at all. But I want it. I'd like to have it. It's imitation flowers, but I want those imitation flowers. So I kill the owner of the flowers in order to have it. That's the way these things work. and the Peter keeps reminding us commandments to train ourselves, to train our lusts and temptations, to direct our lusts in the proper manner. You should have tithed. If you have tithed, it means Hashem Yisbola gave you the power of tithing. You were given the power of lust and temptation. But what should you be tempted to? What should you lust for? You have to direct it properly, as we pointed out once before. David HaMelech had tithed. Goso nafshi letav. The more I study, the more I learn, the more I perform your mitzvahs, Father in heaven, the more I want to perform them. I'm never satisfied. Nishbati va'kayemos, says David HaMelech. I take an oath and I observe the oath. So what's so great about it? Once you take an oath, sure, you have to observe. What's in the graces are? David HaMelech said, Nishbati va'kayemos. So Chazal say there was a great thing involved. He was nishba lekayim es hamitzvah. And the Medrash Tehillim says, why did he do that? Because he loved mitzvah so much. He had such a lust for mitzvah that gevalt in the world, I don't have enough of it. So I'm going to create a mitzvah of my own. The very mitzvah that Hashem Yisbola says I have to perform, I'll add an oath to it. The oath is already mine in mitzvah. That's how much I love a mitzvah. It's not sufficient for me to perform the mitzvah because God commanded me to do so. I want to add more. I want to have more mitzvah. So how can I have more mitzvah? So I add an oath. I take an oath. I will perform God's will. Now when I perform God's will, I have added already to the mitzvah. It's become my mitzvah also. To that extent was the love and the lust and the devotion, the tithing of David HaMelech to mitzvahs Hashem. Sure you have to have tithing. I mean, you can mention. You're a deadbeat if you live without temptations and without lusts. When I mention, I'm saying, I'm limited to mention. It's a tater. A tater belongs in a casket. If you don't walk around, you're dead. And if you're a limited, so you have to have lust, you have to have temptations. But what do you use them for? What are you going to do with these lusts? That's the question. Translate all these things into a lust for that which is higher, for that which is greater. Translate it into a lust for something which will elevate you, which will add new dimensions to life. Don't let it become a lust which will sink you into a grave. Let it become a lust for something which will lift you into a heaven. That's what lusts are made for. That's why we were endowed with kindness by Hashem Yisburah. He's not living anymore. Levitate means to be overwhelmed with lusts, but translate, direct it properly, vent it in the proper manner, then you will have the tightness of a David HaMelech, you'll have the tightness of a Yankee Ravinu, you'll have the tightness of all these Hagdashim. Then food, which is a tightness, can also become a service of God. Shuholi shalodom, the table of a human being, ze'am yisbeach, this is an altar. You serve Hashem Yisborach, not merely by the kind of food you eat, but by the manner in which you eat it. That's godly service. You don't have to deny yourself food in order to serve Hashem Yisborach. Eat it like Torah wants you to eat it. A brocha before, Netilas Yadayim before the brocha on the Muslim. A brocha Birkas HaMazon afterwards. That's a consumption of food which raises an individual, not in his weight, physically, but in his spiritual values. He eats in order to serve Hashem Yisborach. Because as long as he's an individual in this world, if he's going to stop eating, he won't exist here too long. And your business is to stay here as long as you can in order to serve Hashem Yisborach, in order to do mitzvahs. That's why Gohan Zechena Leveroche Ladina Gohan, prior to his death, and he's on his deathbed, took his Talmud Shkotn into his hands and picked up the tzitzits, and he said, here in this world, for 2 pennies, you can buy a tzitzit which will lead you into Gan Eden. But once you pass away from this world, you can't earn it anymore. That's the way a Jew looks upon life. Thus is Yiddishkeit. That's what we mean when we use the word Yiddishkeit or Judaism. It's used by many in a totally different way, in a totally different understanding. But this is what Torah means when we talk about Yiddishkeit. Thus is Zayin Ayi. A ganze, nicht ai, was es nicht, nur ai, was es jo. Nicht ai, was trinkt nicht, nur ai, was trinkt jo. Nicht ai, was fast, nur ai, was trinkt und es. This is the Jew that Torah wants. You remember Yitzchok, when he wanted to give the blessing to Yaakov Avinu. What did he ask for? Make me a banquet fit for kings. He's going to give him the blessings upon which there depend the eternality of Klal Yisrael. That's a time to think of food and drink. Yes, that's the time to think of. If I want to give blessing to my son, if I want to feel fully satisfied, so I must take all that God gives us in this world and translate it into a divine service. I want that banquet of kings because it's going to be eaten before the King of all kings. And then, when I satisfy my bodily needs here in this world, then I'm able to think of my spiritual needs to unite both together. You have a posu of Matan Torah. Vayechlu, vayishtu, they ate and they drank. But a most interesting thing, vayechdu elokim, and they saw God. Can we say that of ourselves? Vayechlu, vayishtu, vayechdu elokim. Such is the consumption of food in the living structure of a Torah Jew. To eat in such manner that it leads to Masis Elohim. That's the purpose of a study of mitzvahs. The more we study, the more we try to understand in our small way, the greater we rise in our appreciation of what it means to be a Shomer Torah and a Shomer Mitzvah. Bezeh Hashem. Mm-hmm.